Well, of course, it wasn't that long ago that we were all acknowledging the beginning of an extraordinary anniversary in Australia's history and, of course, also British maritime history, because this year marks 250 years since Captain Cook and Joseph Banks and the whole mob there on the Endeavour arrived at the east coast of Australia, the first Europeans that we know of to have put foot on that part of Australian soil, and then, of course, to navigate up the eastern coast, right up the coast of Queensland and the rest of it. Of course, by doing it and getting back to England in one piece, they made history. And in due course, they helped make Australia become part of what was then the British Empire. Of course, if they didn't get home, if they didn't make it back to Britain, let's say disaster had struck, well, this place, as Troy Lennon writes in The Telegraph today, would probably be a very different place indeed. Probably be French. Well, indeed, that almost was Cook and the Endeavour's fate. And the piece that Troy's put together today is a wonderful history lesson in just how close Endeavour, Cook and the whole mob came to catastrophe. And it was all thanks to the Great Barrier Reef. He's on the line. Troy, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. How are you, mate?
Good. It almost didn't happen, didn't it?
That's true. It's the way I've sort of depicted it in here is that, you know, they've landed at Botany Bay. They've had a look around. They've collected some specimens and some animals they've never seen before in their lives, all very victorious. And then they set off up the coast. And Cook has started to notice when they get up toward what we know as Queensland now, it is a point he named Cape Capricorn, that the obstacles in the water, the shoals and the reefs and the rocks, start to become much, much worse. So April, he was in Botany Bay, and April 1770, so 250 years ago, as we were saying. But by May, at the end of May, he's noticing he has to go very gingerly through this passage, and that all of these shoals and reefs are forming a bit of a barrier to the open sea, which is, of course, why he called it the Great Barrier Reef. And it certainly earned its name, because it was nearly a barrier to him actually getting back in safety to England to tell his story and to show his charts. In my story, June 3rd, he's going through a narrow passage named the Whitsunday Passage. On June 10, he's anchoring off Mission Beach, which is up near Cooktown.
Yes.
But he set sail on June 11, 1770, and he thought, you know, things should be much better now, and he made the rookie error, I think. Well, I mean, he certainly was no rookie, but he made the gross error of thinking that, well, it's a clear moonlit night, should be able to see all of the obstacles from now on, and he must have thought, well, maybe they've finished, because they'd gotten into deep enough water to think that it was clear enough to sail out. But then suddenly the crew, they take soundings. I don't know if you know, very familiar with it, I don't know if our listeners are familiar with the process of throwing a weight over the side of the ship, weighted with lead and with a bit of wax at the bottom of it, so they can actually see, you know, sand and shells and whatever else once it hits the bottom, but they can tell how deep it is. So they're taking the depth soundings and they find that it's suddenly becoming much, much shallower. Before he was about to drop anchor and stop the ship so that it would actually not drift any further into dangerous water, and it was just a few minutes before 11, the ship stuck fast on a reef. And it was, it was so sudden and such a jolt, people were actually knocked off their feet aboard the ship.
And then, of course, they've got to try to save the ship from sinking, don't they?
Well, that's and the first thing they've got to do is obviously lighten the ships.
So try to refloat her.
Lift it off, yeah. So they're throwing over everything they can. You know, they've got all kinds of ballast and, you know, rotten old food, barrels of water, bits of lead that they've got in the hold, and they're throwing it all out, but it's not working. So then they start throwing out rocks, iron ballast and whatever else they've got in there, stone ballast. But then it's not doing what they hope it's doing. But eventually they decide to put out some boats and, you know, drop anchors further out and try to winch the boat off, which eventually works. But they find that the ship's taking on water, but it's not taking on terribly much water. But the pumps are going hell for leather, and they're actually starting to lose that fight. So the water's actually rising faster than the pumps can get rid of it. But eventually they make it to shore. They limp to shore, and on June 17th, they sail into the mouth of what's now named the Endeavour River, and the guys jump over the boat, grab ropes, and haul it in physically, you know, haul in this ship, and they have to beach the ship in order to fix it. So the ship is there for quite some time. I think more than a month it's there. And during this time, because Cook had some problems in Botany Bay, he hadn't made the contact with the indigenous people that he'd hoped for. So here he actually gets to make some contact with them. But, you know, they tell them about various animals and whatever else that are around there in, you know, the sort of stilted communication they have, because they don't have anybody who can speak the indigenous language.
Yes.
But eventually they make the repairs, or just as they're getting close to making the repairs, Cook takes Banks, and there's a Swedish naturalist aboard called Daniel Solander, and they go a few kilometres north and try to get close to the coast so they can actually see what might lie ahead if the boat goes further up the coast. And all he can see is more of these coral atolls and shoals and reefs. And it's, you know, it's not a very heartening sight. Finally, on August the 4th, they get the ship back into the water. All the repairs are made. As they're sailing slowly up the coast, Cook can actually finally see that the barrier ends, and they're very close to getting out to open ocean, and the wind suddenly drops away. And this is on August 16. The boat is just sitting there in between a reef and the shore, and it's being washed by waves slowly toward the reef. So another potential disaster. He gets the boats out again. They try to tow the boat away from the reef, but the waves are just way too strong for it. And they're within mere inches of actually hitting that reef, and suddenly, finally, the wind, just a very faint wisp of wind comes up, and it helps them move out to safe waters. So it was a very, very close-run thing. And I've quoted something from Rob Mundell, who has written a couple of really good Cook's books.
Terrific.
Books, James Cook. Yeah, he's he said that, you know, you can only wonder what would have happened if the Endeavour had actually come a cropper then. That
what might have happened, I suppose. Let's assume that it sunk. Then what happens? Do they just say that the crew's listed as being missing or something?
Well, they would have actually probably sent the tendency was to send rescue missions to have a look for the lost crew. So in all likelihood, they would have eventually come back around to that length of coast, but it might have been, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years later, by which time the French may well have already occupied the shore, because we do know that the French were trying as well. But we also know that a few French vessels came to grief in those waters as well. So, you know, who knows? I mean, you know, the thing is that the British might have thought that it was just way too hard. They might have thought that, you know, if we send more boats down there, we're just going to lose more boats.
If this guy can't get through, no one can, so...
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Mind you, if it wasn't the Endeavour and it was the Bounty, I suppose if they were looking to toss a bit of ballast off, it would have been Bligh that would have been first thing off the edge, right?
That's probably true, actually.
Then followed by the lead in the water. But I suppose it's a long history, isn't it, in that as you start your piece on May the 24th, 1770... That's when Cook halts the Endeavour for the night to avoid coming to grief on the numerous reef and islands that he encountered around what we now call Gladstone, but then they called it Cape Capricorn. So I suppose it's the very southern part of the Great Barrier Reef. And so that's May 24. As you say, it's not until August the 16th that they head off from roundabout where Cooktown is today, now that the boat is repaired. And still a few more days, they cop reef. I mean, it's a very long and arduous process
for
Lieutenant Cook to navigate.
Well, and that's what I'm saying, is that if they were going to send a rescue mission, the rescue mission would then sort of, you know, because they wouldn't know they might have expected Cook to return at a particular time, you know. Mm. So I think he returned to England in 1771, but they it would have been probably a year beyond that. People would have actually, you know, lobbied for the mission to take place to go find the ship, but you know, they would have had to have other plans in place as well. So, you know, the ship would have had to go and continue the charting and to do other things while it was there. So, you know, it may well have been that the government might not have wanted to make that expenditure. It might not have wanted to expend the money on another mission. So, but, you know, who can say what they would have been, what they would have been thinking at the time. I mean, I honestly think that they probably would have said, yeah, it's way too hard. Let the French have it.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Let them settle it and we'll come and take it from them when the hard work's done.
Yes. when we beat them at Waterloo, we can grab it all back.
Yeah, that's quite right, yes. Oh, history's incredible. Well, it's one of those great hypotheticals of history, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
What if the Endeavour had sunk on the Great Barrier Reef? Well, indeed, maybe you and I wouldn't be here speaking English. We just don't know. Look, great history. Anything to do with Cook fascinates the Australian psyche. There's no doubt about that. And you've thrown another log on the fire there for us this morning. Good on you, Troy. Always great to talk to you,
no
mate.
Worries.
I'll speak to you next week, okay?
Okay, mate. Bye.
Bye-bye. Troy Lennon, the history editor at the Daily Telegraph.